Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, Director of the Center for Inclusive Childcare, and I'm here today with Priscilla Weigel, a consultant with the CICC. Welcome, Priscilla.
Hi, Cindy.
Glad to have you again.
It's good to be here.
And we were just discussing self-regulatory issues that sometimes come up with some children, and in fact, may be part of a programmatic issue for some programs. It might be part of how their environment, or possibly some of the ways that they do their activities. And so that's what we were discussing in our last podcast. And so today we thought that we would go a little bit farther. And part of self-regulation for some children can be having the words or the emotional vocabulary, what we call emotional literacy, to be able to express their needs or to be able to talk about how they're feeling. And that is part of regulating their impulses, being able to pull back that maybe a need for aggression and be able to do something that we consider more developmentally appropriate depending on what that child's age is.
Definitely.
So today, let's talk a little bit about emotional literacy.
Okay.
And so have you seen that in some of the children that you've done consultation with, maybe a need for that at an age where maybe you might expect they'd be a little bit farther along in their development?
I think that oftentimes when you look at the whole idea of emotional literacy, there are a lot of pieces that come into play. Temperament is a big foundational piece there, because a child is going to react to things based on their temperament oftentimes. And so we have to take that into consideration. Then we have to take into consideration what's been modeled to them. What's the appropriate way to handle when you get frustrated? What have they, you know, what's the pattern that they have established there, and is that the appropriate choice, or do we need to help steer them down another path? And it's our jobs. They're going to look to us as the adults as the model. So when something happens that's frustrating to us, how do we react? And when something happens that's frustrating to them, how do we support them through that? How do we say, we don't, if we just say, that's not okay, you don't do that. Those aren't teaching words. We're not taking an opportunity to use that teachable moment. It is our job to make sure that each phrase that we use, and you talked about this kind of, I think, at the end of our last podcast, everything that we say has a teaching quality to it. It should. And so a child's going to take that and put it away in their memory bank. And so when they're frustrated, a child, I'm thinking of a 4.5 to 5-year-old little boy, and he could go through all the kind of rote social connections, like, that's a nice shirt, or I like your truck. But to take things to the next level, as far as that back and forth, that reciprocity, the connectedness socially of playing with a child, managing conflicts, managing frustrations, he didn't have those skills. So encouraging the folks that worked with him to really be his shadow, to be his play supporter. And that didn't mean always intervening and saying the words for him, but saying to him, oh, look at her face. Did she like what you just did? What do you think? Look at her eyes. What are her eyes telling you? What is her face telling you? Her whole face. I'm looking at her face and I'm seeing that she's crying. That means she didn't like that. That means you need to stop and find another thing that maybe you could play with her. Use your words. We say that all the time. Use your words, use your words, use your words. And then we stop there. And we don't say the words. We need to give some children scripts. We need to say, ask if you can have a turn when they're done. And just that simple script-giving tool can open many doors for children that just maybe will be stifled by just that communication piece, that empathy piece, understanding how another person feels. That's a skill that some adults still don't understand. But that perspective of stepping back, looking at what I did as a person and how that affected someone else.
Great.
Helping children understand that is a really lifelong process. But if we don't start early on, we're not even going to build in those pathways into their thinking. And we need to follow through instead of just stopping the aggression or stopping the inappropriate behavior. We need to take it to the next step and say, this is what you do instead.
Excellent.
Here are your options.
You're actually building success then for the child. Mm-hmm. You're giving them a way to be successful because you're not assuming they know what they should be doing, but you're actually helping them know what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that is difficult for many, many of us to understand. The child may actually be doing what they think is the right thing to do.
Right.
They haven't been given the tools for more appropriate behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing as you were talking reminded me, a really phenomenal tool that teachers and providers have is really their own example.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about a teacher who comes in one day and is very sad because maybe something has happened in her life. And so rather than trying to sort of buck up and be really cheery, if she really says to her class, I'm very sad today because mm-hmm. something's happened with my puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the class, these little toddlers or preschoolers see that, oh, this adult is sad and it's okay to be sad.
Right.
She's told us she's sad, but she's going to go on and we're going to have this typical kind of a day. And
mm-hmm.
those sorts of teachers sharing their emotions is very powerful for children
mm-hmm.
as well. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's another thing we want to remind teachers and educators is to share their emotions and model then appropriate reactions
yes.
as well.
Yes.
They can get angry, but then we want them also to have the kind of reactions that they want to see in
mm-hmm.
children as well.
Sure. So. Right. And even taking the sad discussion a step further, and young children get this, saying, I'm sad because something happened with my puppy. What could I do to feel better?
Mm-hmm.
When you're sad, what do? What do you guys do? And it's amazing to hear those little people come up with the sweetest, most clever answers, and a lot of them are very useful and helpful. And so then that adult again can say, that's a great idea. I'm going to try that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try looking out the window at the sunshine. That's a great suggestion. Let's all go over there and do that. And so it's just, you can take that to a whole group time discussion.
Excellent.
About what do you do when you feel sad. And there are a lot of tools that you can use, and giving children another opportunity. And as you said, the words, the not just the us thinking that we have the right answers and they don't. They may be thinking this is what you do when you're angry, and truly feeling that that's the appropriate choice because of what they have been exposed to, what they are learning in their setting, wherever they're from. And so it's our job to say, you know what? That's an option that tends to make people cry. So let's move on to
yes.
something that doesn't.
That's a great segue to tools for promoting emotional literacy. And so maybe we can talk about a few of those tools.
Sure. Books, story time, making up stories,
mm-hmm.
if you are so inclined. Not everybody feels confident doing that sort of thing. But telling stories about your own life,
mm-hmm.
having the children tell about a time when they felt grumpy, or what are some things that make them feel grumpy. So books and stories and just sharing is a great, great way to do that in a larger group setting. One-to-one conversations. Saying to a child who you sense by their body language, by the number of kind of failed interactions they've had throughout the morning, taking them aside, plopping them on your lap, and just saying, boy, I feel like we're kind of having a tough
mm-hmm.
day. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we could do to make it a little different? What can we make it better?
Mm-hmm.
And children early on then are given that skill of talking about their emotions, not bottling it up inside and keeping it till
mm-hmm.
it explodes,
mm-hmm.
but getting it out there and noticing the signs. Oh, I've been trying to play with three different groups of kids and it's not working. My teacher or my provider is sitting me on my lap to give me some time to talk about it, and she told me some suggestions. We talked about it. Now I'm going to go back and try again. And then after that child tries again, and maybe there's a success, then it's our job again to say, grab them by the hand and whisper in their
mm-hmm.
ear and say, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That worked. See, that's the way to go about it if
yep.
you want to ask a friend for something.
Excellent.
And so you're building those
yep.
patterns in and those skills.
We can do so much with books and stories.
Oh, yeah.
I like the example of a classroom teacher who had everyone hold little mirrors as she told the story, and then she would have the children make those expressions that were being used in the story in the mirrors themselves. So really connecting the characters in the stories to the children's, to the expressions, to their own faces, to the feelings. I mean, such a great learning tool to really promote again that emotional literacy is. There's so many ways, as you've said, that you can take a book, as simple as a book, reading a book, and then expanding and extending that learning into the child's experiences. So it becomes those tools for their toolbox when they're in a situation and they have one of those really big feelings and they think, okay, I have a couple of options here I can hit, or now I have a few other tools here that I can do. I can say, that makes me really mad. Or
I can step away. A little boy yesterday I was observing. The teacher said, that was a great choice. You stepped away. Good job. And that was, and he had figured it out all on his own. And he was a 3-year-old little boy.
That's so great to hear, and that's what we want for children, is to give them those skills and then see them actually use them. And then we know that we're giving them a foundation for positive emotional development, and that's what we're really here for. So thank you so much, Priscilla. This has been a wonderful discussion, and we're going to kind of embed this into some of our other podcasts as we go along. But thank you so much for being here today.
Sure. Glad to do it.
That's all for now. See you next time.